I am dropping my first book. It's called The Desired Brand Effect, and I'm really excited to share with you this blueprint to grow your jewelry business from the inside out.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Thrive by Design podcast. I am Tracy Matthews. I'm the Chief Visionary Officer of Flourish and Thrive Academy, and I'm excited to be here today recording this amazing episode that is basically, I'm going to drop you in on a little secret. Guess what? I am dropping my first book. It's called The Desired Brand Effect, and I'm really excited to share with you this blueprint to grow your jewelry business from the inside out. And one of the reasons why I love The Desired Brand Effect so much is that it works for any type of business. It works regardless of your goals and dreams, and it works regardless of the type of jewelry you design, because this is a business philosophy that is tried and true. I've used it to grow two very successful jewelry companies, and I've also used it to mentor and coach thousands of designers who have implemented this desired brand effect into their business to build the jewelry business of their dreams. Because let's face it, not everyone has the same goals. Not everyone has the same dreams. Not everyone has the same desires even. That's why all of us have such unique dream clients and we sell to different kinds of people, right? It's because we're all a little bit different and what we want out of our business is different. But what is the same is that we all want to create freedom in our lives. We all want to know that we have control over what's happening in our business so that we can predict and forecast, you know, our success or whatever we're creating. And we also want to feel a sense of accomplishment, knowing that the work that we've done meant something. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times designers end up like working really hard and not working smart, and they spin their wheels and they're getting all this stuff done, but it's not moving the needle for growth. And so my desire with this book and this methodology is that you can read this and use it as a reference tool time and time again to continue to refer back to you as you're growing your business. So whether you're trying to make your first $50,000 in revenue or $100,000 or even cross a seven-figure mark, I know that's a big range, but we all have different goals because we're all different, as I mentioned. Let this book be your guide to basically co-create the business of your dreams and get paid really well for it. So I'd love to invite you to grab a copy. It's on pre-order right now for a really, really deep discount, and you're gonna love getting it. We're gonna tell you everything that you need to know to get on the wait list, get some special bonuses, and grab it for like an insanely good price. Let's just put it that way. Head on over to desiredbrandeffect.com and get your copy today. I'm super excited about it. Let's do this. So I am thrilled. I want to dive into today's episode, which is, guess what? I'm going to be talking about the three pillars of the desired brand effect. And the reason why I want to kind of walk you through this is to give you an idea of what this methodology is really all about. Because at the end of the day, I think that a lot of us, you know, we get our business going and then we're not really sure what we're doing. And then we just kind of wing it and keep things moving forward. And then for some reason, we get to this place where we hit this profit plateau and our business stops growing. And we don't know how to kind of get out or dig a hole out of the mess that we've created for ourselves. And so my goal is to help you prevent that mess in the first place so that your business continually grows, your business continually thrives, and so that you're getting paid what you deserve to get paid for doing this passion business of your dreams. Now, I want to mention this. Nobody said it was easy, but it doesn't also have to be hard either. So it requires you to make a commitment to yourself and your business to keep it going and growing. Plus, yeah, it's just awesome. Why don't I dive in right now? So as I mentioned earlier, I think what we all want in our jewelry business is to be able to know that we're building a passion business that is giving us freedom. And what I mean by freedom is that we are financially rewarded for the work that we do. We have freedom in our time, so there's flexibility. We don't have to report to a regular job. We can go pick our kids up from school or take a vacation if we want, when we want, all those things. and that the work we're doing is actually moving us closer to our goals. Would you all agree? Give me a heck yes wherever you are if you do, because at the end of the day, I think that that's what we all want, right? And we want to get paid well for what we do. So the desired brand effect is revolves around three pillars. The pillar number one is authentic connection. Pillar number two is connected conversion. And pillar number three is removal to scale. Now, we can simplify that and say connect, convert, and scale. And that's fine. We can work with that. But there's a reason we have things like call it authentic connection or connected conversion or removal to scale, because these are descriptive of what actually needs to happen in our businesses in order for us to grow. And so faceless brands are dying. You are going to hear me say this over and over again. And in order for us to create an authentic connection with our perfect customers, some things need to happen. First and foremost, we need a brand that stands out. And you might be wondering what I mean by a brand. There are a lot of parts that and factors that are involved in your brand. But when I talk about brand, I'm talking about your collections. I'm talking about your brand assets. I'm talking about all your photography and visuals. I'm talking about how you're pricing your jewelry, all the visual pieces that you're actually selling. And so you might not be thinking like, Tracy, my color story doesn't mean that's not what I'm selling, but it is. It's the image of your brand that you're actually selling. So that's the first part of creating an authentic connection, to develop something that is polished, that is well merchandised, that it's priced the right way, that it's connecting with your perfect audience. The second part about creating an authentic connection is all about the people you serve, also known as your dream clients or your prospects and customers. Now, this is really important because I think what a lot of people do is they go and they define what we call a target market. Now, target markets are great if you have a huge marketing budget and you can throw a bunch of money in the trash and spend a lot of money on ads. But most of us need to get really specific on who we're selling to. And the reason why is that the more specific and more clear that you can get on who those dream clients are or those best customers who you're already working with are, then you have so much under your belt, like so much access to be able to start an intimate conversation with those people. Now, that might seem kind of creepy or weird. I'm not saying that in a creepy or weird way, but at the end of the day, what we're doing is building relationships. It doesn't matter if you're selling on the internet, if you're selling on your website, if you're selling in person, or if you're selling to stores. You need to be able to understand who your customer is, their wants, their needs, their desires, their pain points, the struggles that they have, so that you can serve them in a way that your jewelry is solving their problem, basically. So the second part of authentic connection is all about your dream clients or your prospects and customers. The third piece of this authentic connection pillar is your messaging. Now, your brand can encompass your messaging too, but I separated this for a very specific reason. The way we speak to the outside world creates a brand personality. So your messaging is basically all the written words, all the visual things that evoke emotion. So I think your messaging can be portrayed through, like, you know, beautiful photography and stuff as well. Even those are branding assets. I think that from a messaging standpoint, like the type of photography that you shoot also sends a message to your potential buyers, right? Good example of this is a couple weeks ago, I did an episode with Gina and Jared Rushton of The Fox and the Stone. And when they first came to us, their website, while it wasn't terrible, it needed a lot of work. And primarily, they had these beautiful photographs. I mean, the photography was amazing, but it was confusing because you couldn't tell exactly what they were selling, because there was a picture of, you know, a beautiful bride standing in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. There was, they had a couple like wrapped up in a blanket and you just saw a ring on one hand, but the focus was really on the couple, and a couple of other fun images. And they were beautiful images, but you just couldn't tell what they were selling. And so it was confusing to the customers. So that is, and I'm telling you this because that's a form of messaging. If you do it right, you'll start to draw in the right people. And when they just did a huge brand overhaul with brand new images, and their website looks stunning now, but it does really work. And messaging also, here's what I mean by that. It does really work to pull in the right customers. They really experienced this in the first week that they launched their website. They had a bunch of customers come into them for engagement rings because their imagery really spoke to those people who are looking for something unique and not cookie cutter. So it totally works. But your messaging, more importantly, is the written word. So these might be your product descriptions, your taglines, any copy that is on your website. It's the messaging that you use on your social media posts, in your email marketing, and basically across the board. This is maybe your about page, all those things. So this is where your personality really gets to shine, because when people can't see you or, you know, watch video or whatever, maybe you are using video in your messaging, which I think is a great idea. But if you aren't, the written words can say a lot and call out who is the perfect customer and create a personality with a brand. And the written word oftentimes creates a very strong connection. So these three pieces of the puzzle together really help formulate this authentic connection. So when people are coming to you, they are able to understand exactly who you are and fall in love with your brand. And we call this the know, like, trust factor. So it really gets people to know who you are, it gets them to like you, and then ultimately gets them to trust you, which is the number one and most important thing in converting a prospect to a sale. So let's talk a little bit about connected conversion. So when we're looking at the connected conversion piece, we're talking about sales and marketing, delivering exceptional service, and consistency in your outreach and connection. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about what this means. And when I say consistency in your outreach, I'm really talking about your focus on revenue generating activities. So when we take a look at the sales and marketing piece, this is a huge part of the pillar because the connected conversion is really the sales engine of your business. And that's where the money comes from, honey. So when we're talking about sales, we're talking about relationship building. So regardless if you're going to be standing in front of people, talking to them, selling to wholesale stores, or even using your sales techniques to sell over the internet, because there is a strong crossover between your messaging and written sales copy, this is where you're actually converting a customer into a buyer. But the thing that gets them to buy from you is marketing, because marketing is really about getting eyeballs on what it is that you do. So marketing might look like your social media, paid advertising, SEO or search optimization, social search, we're looking at PR here, email marketing, anything that you are doing to get people aware of what you do. Now, this is a huge pillar. We can't we don't have enough time on today's podcast to really dive deep into each of those, but there's so much content that I've done on this podcast all about sales and marketing techniques. You can go back and listen to some of those. And I dive much deeper into this in the Desired Brand Effect book. And so I'm excited to share this with you. So all your sales and marketing are the things that help you create a connected conversion. The second part of this, which I think is really important, is that helps actually foster amazing relationships, is delivering exceptional service. And what I mean by exceptional service is that when people interface your brand, you want them to feel heard. You want them to feel that acknowledged and maybe loved in a certain weird way. But you want them to know that you really care and that you're here to help them, not here to just get a sale. I always say, you know, at the end of the day, I've built this business over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy, but I could care less about money coming in to my business if I'm not able to help and serve people, because that's what it's all about. Building this business has been a lot of hard work, but at the end of the day, if I wasn't getting, you know, the real reason or the real satisfaction of why I've even built this business in the first place, which was to serve you, this audience, then all the money in the world wouldn't matter to me because I haven't really done my job. And so if you think about it that way, when you're interfacing with your customers, like, how do you want them to feel? Like, and think about it, like, how do you like feeling when you're served by another brand? Today, super funny, I was ordering lunch and I ordered lunch super late, took a little nap this afternoon, one of my creativity hacks. And I woke up and hadn't eaten lunch, so I ordered on an app that does food delivery. Now, on the app said, I think I ordered around 2:15. The app said that it was gonna arrive at 3, and I looked on the app like around 2:45 or 3, and it said 10 minutes till delivery. Every 10 minutes, it kept getting pushed back another 10 minutes. And so my food wasn't even slated to arrive until almost an hour later after they did it. And when I reached out to their customer service, I was really disappointed, I have to be honest. And because I'm gonna give them a second chance, I'm not gonna say who the food service person is, but or the food service company is. But I was disappointed in the way that they handled it. They weren't even going to give me a refund or anything until I kind of was like, I don't want cold food for lunch. I left that experience feeling really disappointed and pretty much like I don't even want to order for those people from those people again or that app again. And the interesting thing is, like, think about it this. If you deliver exceptional service, people are going to share that. If you deliver bad service, people are going to share that with other people too. Just like I'm sharing my bad experience here on a podcast that thousands of people download every single week. So it's crazy that, you know, how impactful delivering great service has on a customer's experience and how that draws an affinity to your brand. That helps continue to create that connected conversion, because what will happen is that those people will come back again and buy from you over and over again. So the third part of this connected conversion pillar is all about revenue generating activities, being consistent with your outreach. And here's what I mean. A lot of designers and jewelry brands are afraid to sell. Be honest with yourself if you're afraid to sell. No shame in that. I used to be afraid to sell too. And it was terrifying for me. I was always a good salesperson when I worked in my retail job. When it came to selling my jewelry, it was exceptionally hard. And I felt terrified every time I was going to pick up the phone or go see a store or whatever it might be. Now, I had to basically build my confidence muscle over time because my ex-husband threatened me at the time we were married that I would have to go back to a regular job. And I say threatened because it felt like a threat. And I didn't want to do that. And so I really, really worked on my confidence muscle. And I just realized if I kept going out there, kept putting myself out there, someone would have to say yes at one point. They say it takes 7 to 10 touches for a prospect to turn into a customer. So the more that you put yourself out there, the closer you're getting to actually getting the sale. And so the reason why I say this is so many designers are waiting for sales to happen to them. They're just sitting around making jewelry all day and sitting behind the bench and then wondering why they're not getting traffic to their website or that they didn't get into that show or whatever it might be. And they're not doing anything about getting more sales. And there are so many easy things that you can do to generate sales on a regular basis and keep money coming into your business. And I'm saying this now because if you're ever at a point when you're not getting sales from your business, it probably means that you're not doing outreach enough to get sales, whether it be email marketing, sales calls, emails directly to buyers, whether it be follow-up or texts or reaching out or doing social media and traffic driving strategies to get traffic to your website. All of these things are the things that actually bring money into your business. So if you're waiting around for sales, then and your business is suffering and you're not getting consistent sales or even repeat sales, then likely the problem is what you're spending your time doing every single day. So remember that. This brings me to the third pillar of the desired brand effect, which is all about removal to scale. Now, removal to scale is your ability to really work on your business instead of spending most of your time in your business. Because ultimately, what we're all trying to do is to build something that is life-proofed, that is recession-proofed, that if we were to get sick or if we wanted to take a vacation, that the business would not stop if we left. And if you can honestly say that if you took 3 weeks off right now and your business would not make any money, would you be able to survive? Would you be able to continue to grow? And so ultimately what we're working towards is that our business isn't reliant on us to bring the money in, that we can do things, whether we're working alone or with a team, to automate systems, to really be on track with our growth and our financial plan, to be doing 90-day strategic plans that are helping us grow, and to feel supported by people who are going to help us raise to that next level, right? So I hope that I'm getting some heck yeses on here, because this to me is, I'm really passionate about it. And this is the core of everything that we do in our SOS coaching program right here, is we are working with designers daily to remove themselves from their business because they've come to us because they're burnt out, because their sales aren't growing, because they don't know the next step. They can't tell by working so much inside their business. They need outside eyes on their business to kind of pinpoint what is going wrong. And that's why our SOS community of designers that we've been mentoring for the last 3 years have been so solid and strong. And we're coming up on our third year, the start of our third year in this program. And so many of the original members are still with us because of the results that they got. And it's just so exciting to me because I love working with people for the long haul. And the 120 designers we have in that program are really just getting great results from their business and their work. And we've done so much to like really elevate that program to help them get there much faster. So let's talk about growth in financial planning. This has to do with your annual sales and business plan. So this means like your three top objectives for the year and how you're gonna reach those objectives or big rocks. We back those up with the financial planning, like what's the money required to get there? Where's the money coming from? Kind of considering our cash flow and our sales projections. And then on a more macro or micro level, I should say, that's more the macro level. On the micro level, we're breaking that down into 90-day strategic plans. And what I mean by this is that a lot of times people say like, oh, I want to hit these sales goals, but then they don't really create a plan to back up. How am I going to get there? How am I going to reach these objectives? And so one of the things that we work really intimately with, and this has been one of the most amazing benefits of being in this program, is that we work intimately with our SOS designers to help them implement their 90-day plans. We're meeting with them every 90 days to help them out map out the new cycle so that they are reaching their objectives a lot faster because they're focused and know what they should be working on. When they show up to work, they know what their priorities should be every week. When they when they're planning projects or events or promotions, you know, they're always backing it out to their revenue and financial goals. So ultimately, what we are trying to do is to help you speed up growth much more quickly. And it starts with your planning, party peeps, planning and implementing of those plans. The second part of this pillar is all about systems and automation. Now, one of the things that drives me crazy about myself and many of the designers that I mentor is we like to reinvent the wheel. I am not a systems person. I'm going to be honest. It's not my strength. I don't like creating them. I can figure things out pretty quickly. And I get frustrated if I can't find things in the right way. And so I've never been one who was great at implementing systems in my business or creating them for my business. And so as I've grown, I've done it. But I'm honestly going to tell you that it hasn't been my strength. But what I do know is that as I've started to support myself with team, that the systems that we've developed together as a team have been integral to the growth of all of my companies. And so I want to remind you that is if you say like, I'm creative, I'm not into systems, look, you're in good company. I don't like doing it either. But at the end of the day, if I didn't have a strong operating procedure manual and strong systems to back up all the processes and systems in both of my businesses, I would not be running, or all three of my businesses, I should say, I would not be running three businesses simultaneously and while having them all make money. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, this is really important. And then the automation piece. Now, I mentioned reinventing the wheel earlier, but a lot of us, I don't know why, we just think we should do everything manually instead of getting things on autopilot. So there's lots of things that you can automate, and some of them might seem obvious, like you can automate marketing sequences on your email CRM. You can automate calendar invites or booking calls with your clients or whatever it might be. There's a lot of automation things that you can do that you're probably already doing. If you're not, make sure that you're doing them now. But using software, project management tools, automation tools like Zapier integrations, and anything that you can get on an automation that is just automatically triggered so you don't have to think about it, you are going to free up so much precious time and your business is going to be running much more smoothly. And you know what that means? More profitability, less bloat. And that's what we all want. I like higher profit margins. What about you? I think we all should like them. So the third piece of this removal to scale piece is like, look, we don't grow businesses in, it takes a village, as people say. And the reason why I say this is that for so many years, I was trying to do it all alone. And I would occasionally ask a friend for some help. And they were very tight-lipped. They didn't want to share their secrets. And while this was back in the 90s and 2000s, so much has changed since then. I mean, Flourish and Thrive, I'd like to think that we are one of the forerunners in jewelry business education, especially for emerging designers who are aspiring to become those in-demand designers. And I'm saying that because, you know, I'd never experienced anything like this community before we launched it. And the changes that have been made in this industry because of that have been phenomenal. So support can start with a community and the people of like-minded entrepreneurs or jewelrypreneurs, as I like to say, that you surround yourself with. So get a business bestie who is also a designer and share your experience and support each other. Create accountability so that your business is moving forward. Now, the other piece of this support tool is all about building a team. So a team might look like virtual assistants, employees, independent contractors, or maybe even agencies that you hire to help support you in your marketing and business effort. So like when I think of all the people supporting me, it might look like, you know, our marketing team, our bookkeepers, our accountants, the core people on the Flourish and Thrive team, my executive assistant who helps me with my jewelry projects and production management and all of my other business things that need help with. You know, there's so many things. There's no way I would be able to do what I'm doing without support. And over time, you're going to find, because even when I was an emerging designer just starting out, I found a time when I just couldn't do it all and I needed some help. So I chose, because my hands were hurting, to bring in a production assistant. So you might decide to bring someone else in first, but what I'd really want you to think about as you're starting to grow and scale your business is, what are the things that you dislike doing and want to get off your plate sooner rather than later? That's usually the first thing that you would delegate. And then support also comes in the form of working with mentors and consultants. This is more one-on-one. Eyeballs on your work. And this has been pivotal to me in many different times. In fact, we just hired consultants to help us restructure our team over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy so that we could streamline our processes and kind of help the people who work with me to thrive even more. And so, you know, I love having, you know, loyal team members and people who've been with me for a long time. I love it so much because it's created a community and a culture around our brand. But more than anything, I want them to feel empowered and supported in their roles because they're helping me build my dream, right? And at the end of the day, when you're hiring people, it's the same situation. You're hiring people to help build your dream. So think about it that way. Get yourself surrounded by the support. Get consultants in when the time is right. If you need those that high-level consulting, it's a great opportunity, or even mentorship. It's a great opportunity to get people to take a look at what you're doing and growing. And that's one of the things that I love about our SOS coaching program as well, is that oftentimes, you know, we can't see what we can't see. And when we're getting individualized coaching on specific areas of our business, someone can take a look in and maybe point something out that you've been, you know, basically like laboring over for months or even years, and nothing's changed, right? And it's really helped our designers grow like crazy. So let's talk about when authentic connection and connection conversion can intersect. Basically, you start getting consistent sales. It's pretty easy as that. When connected conversion and removal to scale start to intersect, we start getting repeat customers and loyal fans. And when removal to scale and authentic connection connect, we get more money, more revenue, and more profits into our business. Now, let's talk about when you get stuck. This is the big piece. So if you're stuck between authentic connection and connected conversion, this usually means that you're doing all the work, but you're not getting sales from all the work that you're doing. That means that you're not getting sales, obviously. And we call that no conversion. But really, if you're stuck in that, what I call a butt crack, it means that you're kind of, there's something you got to figure out. Like maybe it's up-leveling your messaging, or maybe you're attracting the wrong clients or whatever it might be. Or maybe your sales and marketing efforts just aren't there and you're not being honest with yourself. So no conversion or no sales is what is the downside of not getting this right. So let's talk about when you get stuck in the intersection between connected conversion and removal to scale. Has your business ever stopped or plateaued? So if you've kind of like done a lot of work and got your business to a certain level, but it hasn't seemed to continue to move, that means you gotta remove yourself. You are becoming a bottleneck in your business, and you're probably trying to do way too many things, and that is stunting your growth. So time to take a look at that. Now let's talk about what happens when you get stuck in the butt crack between removal to scale and authentic connection. That means that your brand and your money are kind of disconnected. So let me tell you what that means. Basically, if you start to just go chasing a bunch of ideas, or you kind of get lost from who your dream customer is, or you're not really like staying true to your brand, and you're kind of not removing yourself to scale, what ends up happening is that you start putting out fires and doing really dumb things. I'm gonna give you an example of this. In 2007, I decided to launch a brass line of jewelry because the silver market was spiking, which means that my price point was going up and I was getting price resistance from my regular customers. Now, a lot of times price resistance means that you're not attracting the right customers, but it was just this unique period of time that we were shipping orders and the metals were spiking just so much in between when I would take the order and actually ship it. So I wanted to do something. My stores were complaining a little bit about the prices being too high, that they didn't think they could sell it. And I wanted to do something in a lower price point. So I decided to launch a brass collection that was big and bold, because that was what was going on at the time. And it was a disaster. I just have to say this, because I have always designed a relatively smaller scale personal jewelry. I like layering necklaces. I'm not a huge chunky jewelry wearer. Sometimes I like to wear like bold rings, but as far as like the necklaces and earrings that I would design, they're usually like more delicate in feel. Well, at that time, statement jewelry in fast fashion was in style. So I was trying to emulate my look in a fast fashion look, and it just didn't work. No one bought it. We did have one grouping in that collection that worked because we had a bunch of cuffs. But other than that, like, my brand was like backsliding. And guess what happened? My money suffered. And by the time I launched that collection in 2008, I was really feeling the pain. And this was just a precursor to what was going to happen later in the year. But I just want to remind you that if you kind of lose vision of what you're all about and you get stuck in that butt crack, you're going to disillusion your customers. And that's going to mean that you start to backslide. No bueno. Anyway, I loved sharing this episode. I want you to think about this. Like, how are you really doing? Are you attracting and connecting with building that authentic connection with your perfect customers? I want you to think about how you're doing and maybe consider scoring yourself. You know, we have the scoring system over here. I learned it from my coach Taki a while back. And you want to give yourself a green light if you're doing really well. You want to give yourself a yellow light if you're not doing it so well, or maybe a red light if you're not doing it at all. It's funny, I taught this on a masterclass once, and people were giving themselves orange lights, which was kind of funny, a mix of the yellow and the red. So let's talk about connected conversion. Are you getting consistent sales? Are you getting repeat customers? Is your business continually growing? Give yourself a green, a yellow, or a red light. How are you doing? Now let's talk about removal to scale. How life-proofed or recession-proofed is your business? If you were to take 3 weeks off, would your business still survive? And would the sales stop? I'm pausing on purpose for you to think about that. Green, yellow, red light right there. That's how you know if you're doing well. Now, I flesh out these ideas so much more in my book, The Desired Brand Effect, and I'd love to invite you to grab it now. Head on over to desiredbrandeffect.com, and right there, we're going to tell you exactly how you can order the book and learn a little bit more about how you can actually implement this stuff in your business. The book is full of a ton of resources and examples and case studies from students of ours and my own business, and you're going to really feel inspired. So it doesn't matter if you are just starting out as a jewelry designer or maker, if you've had a business for a while and you're trying to grow and scale, or if you're someone who's really built a jewelry empire and you're trying to get to that next level, I think this book is really going to become a resource for you to reference back to over and over again. And it's really, you know, book is just like so awesome, such a great tool for you to bring with you wherever, read it on your Kindle, grab the audio version eventually, all the things. It's going to be awesome. So head on over to desiredbrandeffect.com, and I'm so excited. Let's do this. It is going to be amazing. And also, when you get your book, I'd be so honored if you wouldn't mind sharing it with your friends, and also sharing it on social, like what you found. So we're going to be having a little bit of a social media contest, which will be fun, so you can share your Desire Brand Effect book. Let's do this. Thanks so much and have an awesome day. This is Tracy Matthews signing off. I am so excited for you to rock it out with your desired brand effect. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It's my mission to help thousands of creative businesses inside and outside the jewelry space use their creativity to make money. Make sure that you're subscribed to Thrive by Design on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are played. And we'd love to hear what you think. Please rate and review the show. And if you're inspired, please share this with your friends. Cheers to seeing you flourish and thrive.